Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, licensed professional counselor, and co-host Andrea Wise Brown, life strategist and licensed professional counselor, and Sean the Realist. Dr. Guy Monday Night Gumbo and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by talk show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of the show host. Dr. Guy Monday Night Gumbo is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is to disseminate information, increase dialogue across ages, religious preference, gender, and sexual orientation. Don't forget to tune in every week to Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo. Welcome to Dr. Guy's Monday.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo. Sorry, you guys, for tuning in a little late. We were having some technical difficulties, so we are going to go right ahead and get started with our show topic tonight. Our title tonight, well, actually, let me introduce one of our co-hosts, Sean the Realist. How are you tonight, Sean? Looks like we may still be having some technical difficulties. Hey, Sean, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hey, Sean.
All right.
Okay, so we can hear each other now. So,
that's wonderful, that's wonderful. So, yes, women, successful women intimidate men.
Yes, finally we get a chance to talk about our topic tonight, which is do successful, independent women intimidate men? So, that's a question, and obviously I have a lot to say about this particular topic, but as always, I'm sure you do too. So let's see, where do we even start?
I think that we'd have to start with, you know, the terms first. What does intimidate mean? I think that women may believe that they are intimidating men, scaring men off. Men don't have the particular fortitude to deal or approach with them, but that's really not the case. It's more of just a lack of desire than fear. So,
all right. So first, you said we should probably start with exploring the definition of intimidate.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Do you want Webster's definition of intimidate, or would you like me to give you my definition of intimidate?
Well, we'll start with your definition. I think that everybody has their own vernacular before we go to the rote version of English.
I think when I think about the word intimidate, I what comes to mind is feeling, allowing someone to let you feel less than or inferior. That's what comes to mind from my own definition of intimidate. But let's go and see what Webster's definition of intimidate is. Since, you know, you said you want to start with a definition. To make timid or fearful, frightened especially, to compel or detect by as if threats. Ooh. So that's Webster's definition of to intimidate.
Mm.
To bully.
Yeah, have my analogy, but, you know, like we discussed a little earlier, you would probably, you know, you said people are not going to like it. But I got to use it anyway. So, say, for instance, if we're going to the pound to get a dog, I've got my 8-year-old nephew with me. And we see this black Labrador. He's real nice. He's wagging his tail. He's got a little mange on him, but he's a real nice dog. And I said, oh, this is a nice dog. And my nephew goes down to the other end of the kennel, and there's a pit bull. He used to be one of Michael Vick's fighting dogs, and he's just growling and biting the cage and all over the place. You know, it's not that I'm scared of that dog. I just don't think that's the right dog for my nephew. So a lot of times I think we misinterpret what fear is versus a proper decision of what I'm willing or not willing to deal with. I'm not afraid of that dog. I just don't want to deal with him. So I think that kind of goes to the point with men. Men aren't really afraid of women. It's just we don't want to deal with that particular scenario when there's a lot more easier paths to be taken.
So I'm really disappointed that you went ahead and used that analogy of, you know, the different dogs and comparing women to different types of dogs and the ones that men want to choose to deal with or not deal with. But I'll go with that because nonetheless it's a good analogy. So I guess I kind of want to go back to, I'm trying to think, because after I read the definition of intimidate and I think about the show question, do successful or independent women intimidate men? Let me answer that, like, because, you know, we kind of put the question out, and if any of our listeners want to chime in, we definitely want to hear from you guys, and we want to hear your thoughts about the subject. So if I had to answer that with a yes or no, I would say I do not believe that independent, successful women intimidate men. After looking at the definition of intimidate, I definitely don't think that women intimidate men. Based on that definition, it almost would appear that women would somehow be bullies and would be considered bullies, I guess, in relationships, and that's why they're not interested in that's why men are not dating them or interested in them. But in the example that you just gave, you're pretty much stating that it's not that men are intimidated by these women, they're just choosing not to deal with this particular type of woman.
Correct.
Okay.
Like, I say, you know, like we talk about, I always like using the lions. You know, the lion doesn't get a better meal by catching the fastest gazelle. It's still a gazelle. So if it's the fastest one or the slowest one, it's still a gazelle the most.
Yeah, but again, I believe my thoughts is that strong women don't intimidate men. You're saying women, these are just women that men don't want to deal with. How did we get to this point? Like, I know when you look at statistics and trends, women are outnumbering men in college campuses. They're, you know, outnumbering men receiving master's degrees and higher degrees. And obviously, in 2015, women have more hiring power. So I get that. All of that has definitely changed since the 1920s, right, where women were stay-at-home moms. So are we saying that because of the changes roles in women, that now that's impacting men and men? Like, if men don't want to deal with these women, then what type of women do men want to deal with? Like, how did we get to this point that I thought that being successful and independent was a good trait, but when we kind of look at the articles that are being put out about successful independent women, they're not portrayed in a, I guess, appealing light. In fact, it somehow seems dismal and bleak to possess those qualities. So how do we get here?
Well, I think it's a combination of two things. One, with a woman, generally you all have a desire to mother in some respects or to help, which is not necessarily bad, but what tends to happen is it takes another form when the help becomes an aggressive help, and it's an aggressive form of help that is unwanted. And that's when it transcends into more of a bullying thing. But it's something that women aren't really cognizant of because they're trying to help you.
I was just trying to do what was best for you. I don't know why you won't let me do what's best for you. So, and then it takes that tone. So it may be more of, like I said, an approach than a philosophy. You can have a good philosophy with a bad approach. So I think what happens is it becomes more of a bad approach.
Uh-huh.
And then women who are successful aren't able to stand what has occurred. So what has been the fallback is that men are intimidated by of me because I'm successful. You know, it's not that you're successful. You may be overbearing. You may be argumentative. You may be too aggressive. So, you know, it. When I hear a woman say that she is intimidating, she intimidates men, to me that lets me know she's really not in touch with her feminine side as she needs to be.
Hmm. It would seem that if we were using those characteristics that you just described, then we would say women that are overbearing, controlling, intimidate men. But that's not the terminology that we're using. And, again, if you Google this topic, you'll get at least a gazillion articles where they're talking about how independent women, successful women, career-driven women, these are the terms that they're using, but they're saying that those terms specifically are the things that are intimidating to men. So you're saying that if a woman is independent and successful, the other qualities or traits that she has is potentially the fact that she's overbearing and controlling?
Yeah. Well, generally speaking, those people who are of an alpha personality, which would lead to be successful in America, have those traits. They are aggressive. They are overbearing. They are controlling. So those traits translate very well in the workplace, but not very well in a relationship.
I'll go with that. How do I say this? Those traits are necessary for success. That's a given, right? And so here's the difficult part, I think, for women. And I can only speak for a woman because I've never been anything else but a woman in my life. So as a woman, those traits that you just mentioned, I believe, are not something that comes to us second nature. It's a trait that – those are traits that we have to learn and then practice at and get good at. And society, I do not believe, embraces those traits for women. Like, when you think about a woman, or if you're someone is describing what, you know, an ideal woman – traits she possesses, those are typically not the ones that they're going to describe. Those are the ones that they're going to describe for a man, which we believe men should kind of embrace those. And so society, I think, embraces that. It grooms them into that, and so it makes sense. So this is how they're supposed to act and behave at work, and then this is what is expected of them in their home. So it's that whole continuity. It's real simple for them. But then when you talk about women, because this is something that has to be learned, and it's the workforce, or these are the traits that they're portraying in the workforce, now they're expected to come home and switch gears. Like, they're supposed to be now the loving, nurturer, caregiver, which that's not what they are in their professional lives. So you want them to kind of live a dual life, or you – what is it that women should be doing so that these titles that you've described them as, abrasive, controlling – you know, that they don't get tagged with those labels?
I think that's just being an adult. I mean, say, for instance, if I'm a police officer, then I get paid to be somewhat suspicious. But that doesn't mean I come home and, you know, I carry the same level of aggression and suspicion out with my family. So that's what being a professional is, being able to differentiate those things. Like, you know, even if we talk about, like, say, for instance, Kim Kardashian, you know, I've never seen her mad. You know, I've never seen her overbearing, you know. So when we talk about what is used in society for a measuring stick, you know, for those women who are using their feminine charms for their success versus their intellectual acumen, then you're able to have both. Because I can't imagine Kim Kardashian is a complete idiot if she has somewhat of a successful business empire. So I'm thinking if she can switch gears to go to a meeting and sign some papers, then somebody else should be able to get home from work and switch gears and not be as overbearing as she was while she was at the job. I think it's a cop-out.
I'm not saying that it's not possible and that it doesn't take place. I guess my question is, why is it that when, again, the traits that you described, like controlling, overbearing, did you use another one? Those two seem to stick out for me. But those are really negative qualities.
Well,
and,
I mean, to me it's more about, and we always have this conversation about who is the prize. So to me what really happens when you have a woman who is in that mindset is you are really wrestling over who is the alpha in the relationship. So, you know, I know there's a concept of what an alpha really is, but, you know, generally alphas, they will fight to an extent, but for the most part, they'll just walk away. You know, when you see exchanges between, you know, animals and Mother Nature, generally it might be a fight like 1 out of 5 times. But, you know, we're not going to actually put up a fight every time there is issue or there is some instance of being overbearing. So that's why I gave the analogy of, you know, a true alpha man will just leave and get out of the situation rather than argue with you over who's the alpha. You can be the alpha by yourself. That's fine. I'll go over here and be the alpha. And I think that is the frustration that women have, is they want to be engaged and to go through the fight and the process, and men aren't really interested in doing that because it's a waste of your energy.
But, okay, we have definitely talked about the whole alpha male, alpha female, beta male, beta female. But in terms of this, are we talking about an alpha female, or are we just talking about women that are successful in their careers and career-driven? Because to me, those are two different things that we're talking about.
Well, it is, but when you use the tools that we've discussed that have gotten you successful in your career and your relationship, then you start to morph more into the alpha. Like, you can be a leader, it's just how you lead. You know, there's a different tone of aggression, a different when you question people. So, you know, there's a difference between having a coworker or a subordinate and someone who you're in a relationship with. So there's a problem sometimes with those distinctions on actually how to get along and deal with people for some.
Again, I have no idea how we got to this point where you, any time you engage in conversations about relationships and careers, this topic comes up when you're in a conversation with, for the most part, single, successful women. And again, I'm speaking from personal experience. And so, you know, before the show, you and I were talking about how just this past weekend, I was talking to a girlfriend who is pretty successful, independent, single, no kids. And she was having a conversation with a significant other, or the person that she's dating, about her purchasing a home. And his response to her was, "Hey, I think you're paying too much for a house. You need to bring it down some." And her response is pretty much like, "Well, why? Because this is what I'm comfortable doing financially." But for her, that topic has kind of come up multiple times about what she can do with her money and how she can spend her money and kind of the things that she's doing related to finances. And so the question is that him being intimidated by how much she makes and her ability to kind of purchase the size home and spend the amount that she wants? Or is that him just trying to steer her in a different direction? Like, what would you say that is an example of?
I just think for her, it's kind of difficult, because if she's interested in this guy, at some point she's going to have to take in consideration some of the things that he thinks, because instead of making it about her, she could have made it about them. But because she was so focused on, this is what I want to do and what I can afford, instead of
creating a situation where they could have had some type of project to bond together collectively. Like, say, for instance, if she doesn't know about houses, and I can understand she wants to buy a new house so she'll have warranties, but if she is telling him that that is her significant other and she trusts him, and he says, well, hey, we can get this cheaper and I can fix these things, by her not getting it cheaper, it is an indictment of a lack of trust. So by her being the lord or, you know, master of her finances, that's fine. But the message that she starts to send off is not one of cohesion in a relationship. So that's one of the examples I'm giving you, is that, you know, just because you can do a thing doesn't necessarily mean you should do a thing.
Okay, Sean, so I've been pretty much on the same page with you for most of the night, but now I'm probably getting off that page and even out of that book. So because she should be a team player, she should – I'm confused because this is her buying a house for herself. I said this is someone that she was dating. I didn't say that this is a fiancé or someone that she was getting ready to spend the rest of her life with. So why should she make this about him? Because it's not about him. It's about her.
Well, it's not about him. It's about them collectively. And the message that she's giving is it's about her. So the more messages that she sends that it's about her, eventually it will be all about her and he will be someplace else.
But if the shoe was on the other foot, if he was buying the home and he said he wanted to spend X amount of dollars, and I'm sure, let's say she made the suggestion, you should, you know, come down a couple hundred, then she may, you know, he may have told her something like, hey, I got this, you know, let me take care of this, and that's okay. But because the female does it, then she's not inclusive of them.
I didn't say it was okay. You said it was okay.
I'm asking that question. So she's neglecting the deal.
It's still pretty much a basic relationship problem, is everybody tends to be more about themselves than about the unit. So that's just one example where, you know, if that's something that she was recommending, then, you know, and she had some expertise or a reason why she recommended it. See, a lot of times what happens is that it's difficult for men to listen to women because a lot of things are based on feelings. So she could tell him that, hey, I feel like you should get a house that's $100,000 cheaper. And he might ask her why, and she'd be like, I don't know, that's just what I think you need to do. And just generally speaking, most men need reasons. You know, if the guy has reasons why she should purchase the house for cheaper or has devised some type of plan to show her where that's achievable and she disregards it, then that can be problematic. If you're just telling me I think something because I feel, then generally most people who are successful in that regard financially will disregard that. So I think it's based more on the reasoning than the gender.
Okay. I'll go with that. It's based on the reason more so than the gender. So if it happened either way, then whether he did it or she did it, you're still saying that it's not a collective decision and it was about the individual and not the couple.
Right.
Okay.
You know,
right.
So, you know, even with my experience, you know, with women, a lot of times I disregard what I'm told because all I'm told is that's just what I feel. And I can't base my decisions on someone's feelings. You know, I need something a little bit more concrete or tangible or something that I can comprehend, not a feeling, something that abstract.
Okay. All right. Well, because we are obviously talking about do women intimidate men, for the most part there's this huge population of obviously single women, and I think this is why the topic keeps coming up in discussion. And so we do have listeners tuned in. So if you guys have a comment, a question about the topic, feel free to chime in. Again, tonight's topic is, do successful independent women intimidate men? And so my stance on it, I said, is that I don't think that successful women intimidate men. Sean, your stance or your response to the question?
I think they try to, but don't understand that they're not. I think that's the problem, is that when women have the conversation about do they intimidate men, they have it amongst women. So everybody's like, yeah, of course we do, instead of really bringing it to guys who can give you a perspective of, you know, I'm not scared of you, I'm just choosing not to deal with your specific set of circumstances. I think that, you know, it's an easier thing to say that men are intimidated rather than I haven't done the necessary work I need to do to attract the type of man that I want.
Somehow, Sean, listening to that, I feel like it puts the onus on the female as if she's the one who has the problem about why he's feeling a certain way. And, again, I have no idea where the whole topic, you know, came from about women and, you know, successful women intimidating men, but we've been hearing it for some years now. And so I have never personally spoken to a man who has said, yes, he has felt intimidated by a woman. I can say I've never had that experience, but maybe there are some women who have had that experience, and men have been very open and honest about that. But I don't know if that's because of something that she has done. More so, that's a reflection of the guy who may have some inadequacies about himself, and that's why he feels lesser than or bullied by or inadequate in relationship to her.
Okay,
so,
let me give you this example, and with your clinical opinion, you tell me who's at fault. So say I had a girlfriend, and this is actually a true story, I shouldn't really be telling you, but it's pretty funny. So I had a girlfriend that was light skin, large breasts, relatively decent size behind. I felt as though I wanted to play some mind games with her, so I started watching porn with dark-skinned girls with small breasts and large behinds. So if she develops a complex or an inadequacy as it relates to me and what I like, whose fault is that?
Clearly, that's her fault.
It's her fault. Okay.
Right.
So if I'm showing interest in the opposite of what she is, you don't feel like I can create a feeling of doubt, mistrust, or inadequacy?
Okay, so if I'm looking at
this person who is the opposite of what she is the standard of my desire?
Right. So you're asking me for my clinical response. My clinical response is the onus is going to go to her. And the reason why I say that is because you can't make her feel inadequate. So it's a choice, and it's a thought process that she has now created, which she now has bought into and believes to be true. But it has nothing to do with what – it's not you're doing that to her. It's her own belief pattern about what's taking place. So I put that on her, not on you. And if I were to put that on you, then that's the same thing as saying I believe that someone has the power to dictate how you feel, which I think is false. So a prime example, I can't even remember the conversation, how it actually started, but what I do remember is the person said to me that someone did something to her, and she said, they took my power away. And instantly, I asked her to say that statement again, and she said, they took my power away. And I said, wow, can somebody take something away that isn't theirs? And so in that moment, she had to realize, if I truly do believe that somebody has the ability, authority to take something like my power away, then apparently it wasn't ownership. I didn't own it in the first place. So I don't believe that what you did in your attempt to be you made her feel inadequate. That was her own stuff that made her feel inadequate. Which is why I'm saying I believe in this case that if we are talking about men who, because I do believe that there are some men that potentially do feel intimidated by successful women, but I don't believe that the women make them feel intimidated. I believe that that's something that the guy has to deal with. That's a reflection of himself and his own self-worth and his own potential earning power and whatever other issues that are going on in his life that he is lacking of. But I don't think it's because of women.
I would have to agree
doing.
That there are some men that are intimidated, but it depends on how you define your masculinity or femininity. So if her value system was based on her sexual prowess, and I demonstrated to her that her sexual prowess was not at the epitome of what I desired, based on her belief system, that would cause problems and create inadequacies based on how she's structured. So if you have structured your belief system about men being the breadwinner or owning a business or any of those things that may not necessarily be present when dealing with a successful woman, then I do understand that as well.
Okay, let's go back to the example, the scenario that you gave with the young lady who you described as light-skinned, you know, I guess.
Busty.
Oh, okay.
Light-skinned, busty, not too much booty, but yeah.
Gotcha, right. So let's go back to that scenario. Again, if she felt inadequate because of something that you were doing, again, that's not a reflection of, oh, my goodness, this is Sean. That's a reflection of her thought process. It's tied into what she believes. So let's see. I'm with this gentleman who all of a sudden now appears to have an interest in something that's the opposite of me. Now, do I feel less than a woman because he has an interest in something that does not look like me? Absolutely not. Because clearly that's his interest. Now I need to go date, be with someone else who is interested in the qualities that I have. So, again, why would what you did change how she feels about herself unless those were her own issues?
Well, I mean, that sounds very easy to do. But, you know, if that was the case, I know a lot of therapists would not be in business.
Correct.
Well, if her desire was me, not necessarily something outside of me, then she would want me to look at her in a certain light, and that would cause those issues. Well, I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
That did cause those issues.
Right. You're right. The concept itself sounds quite simple. You're right. It sounds quite simple. But in reality, it isn't as simple as that, and a lot of us would probably be out of business and not have clients if people understood that what creates our behaviors and our feelings is really tied to our thought process, and it's not tied to what anybody else does, because people will continue to do what they do, and you have a choice how you decide to respond to that and how you cognitively process what just took place. So in her situation, even though she had a desire to want to be with you, instead of her saying, oh, this joker wants somebody else, oh, I got you, boo, because it's somebody else for me, she internalized that and said it's a reflection of me. Like, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough, because now he wants dark and he wants smaller. But again, she had to create that in her own mind to begin to internalize those emotions that cause whatever these feelings of inadequacy. So that's why I'm saying, when you and I have been talking tonight about, do successful women intimidate men, I don't think that it's the success of the woman, which is kind of where you went with saying women, you know, can be controlling and all these other negative qualities that you mentioned. But I think it's more so if it has taken place that these are men who just are inadequate themselves.
I would like to wholeheartedly disagree. I think you did make one point, but it really goes back to the woman because of how she views men. So what tends to happen is because the woman is successful, she feels like she's more man than the men she's dealing with, and that comes off in her actions.
She probably is.
So it still goes back to, it's not that men are intimidated, it's the women are projecting a improper attitude to attract the type of men that they want, because they're probably mad that they're that successful and wish they could just be home making cookies and knitting a scarf. But that's just my thought.
Ooh, you just set us back like 30, 40 years, longer than that.
No, Dr. Guy, not at all. Like, I always will tell any woman I know, I'm not telling
don't
you
say
you
it.
Can't wear pants. It just works better in a skirt. There are certain things, just because you can do them doesn't mean that you should. You know, I'm not saying you can't lift heavy things. I'm just saying I'm designed to lift heavy things more often than you are. You know, when you have stress on your body, it changes your pH, which messes with your whole hormones and chemical structure. I'm not saying you can't do it. It's just probably not the best thing for you. That's all.
And I'll agree with you on that point. I'm just saying that instead of putting this ownership on women and saying it's a negative reflection of what women are doing if men are feeling this way, I'm just saying I'm putting the ownership back onto the place where it should belong, and that's to the person who owns feeling inadequate or intimidated, which are the men. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the men aren't feeling inadequate or intimidated. It is a fallacy created by women because they do not want to deal with the work they need to deal with in order to feel more feminine.
Okay. Again, because we're making general statements, and we know that it doesn't apply to all. So there are going to be some in every category. Yes, there are going to be some women that have alpha personalities, and as a result, it makes dating quite difficult because they don't understand the role of a woman because they've lived in this alpha role for so long, and they've done everything by themselves, and they watched their mother and their grandmother and their aunties kind of be the heads of their households, and so they're now taking on that same ownership. I get that. There is a percentage of some women that do that. But then there are also women that don't do that, and they're successful, and they're career-driven, and yet they're still being lumped in this category of intimidating men as though it's their fault, when there are definitely some men who have some inadequacies. And they express those in different ways. And they're inadequate because their women make more money and are more successful in their careers and are more driven, and the list kind of goes on and on and on.
Well, I don't believe that. I think that that's something that's happened since segregation. Like, I think that the concept or the desire for money is pretty much one of the larger problems in relationships, because at one point you could be a teacher and there was no shame in that, but now teachers don't make enough money, or, you know, the situations that we look at, just because you will have a set of skills that you're paid more than I am, does that mean that you're more of a man than I am if you're a woman? No, but that's how society has change the lens on the ideas of what a man does and what a woman does. So I might be a great teacher. I might be reaching these kids. I might have a good relationship with all of them. I might be fulfilling my life's work. But because the value assigned to teachers is not the same as a chemical engineer, that doesn't make a woman who's a chemical engineer more man than me. We just have a different purpose. So that's kind of what I'm saying about, that's something generally women will talk about, is the money and being more successful. It depends on what your goals are. So if that's how we're quantifying it, then to me it still falls back on the women, because I don't hear her. And when I'm in the barbershop, I don't hear nobody talking about, man, I'm so intimidated by this woman. I just don't hear it.
I mean, come on, I don't think men are having those conversations. What man is going to say that he's intimidated by his, you know, significant other or someone he's dating? I think it looks differently. It comes out in a way that looks like frustration, like, why does she have to buy what she buys? And, you know, why does she drive the way she drives? And what, you know, I think it looks more like he has an issue with how she spends her money versus him saying, I'm just intimidated by the fact that, you know, my woman makes more than I do, or, you know, she has a degree or whatever the case may be. But again, I'm not putting
that. I think it's more about the sharing of the assets, though. Like, I don't think it's about the money. Like, I give you an example. One of my girlfriends went shopping and spent, I don't know, $5,000. And showed me all the stuff she bought. And I was happy for her, but, you know, she didn't buy me anything. So, like, I could only be but so happy thinking you spent $5,000 and didn't get me anything. So it's really not about the money. It's more about the resources and how you're allocating them. So if every purchase that you're making is about you and none of them are about me, then of course at some point I'm going to have some problems with what's going on. It's not about your success. It's more about your selfishness.
Okay, that's implying that selfishness isn't a two-way street. And an example like that, like how giving is the male in that particular scenario? Like, is he going out and when he shops and spends $300, does he buy her something in his $300? Like, again, I can't say that I believe that if this is taking place, that it's because the woman is doing X, Y, and Z, and doesn't know how to be a woman because society has geared her more towards these masculine traits in order for her to be successful. Like, I don't think that's all. I think that's definitely a percentage what it is. I'm not sure. But what I don't hear you saying, because I'm saying I think, yes, there's a percentage of women that are definitely alpha females, and that creates some problems in a relationship. What I don't hear you saying is that there are some men that are truly they feel inadequate because their woman is more successful. There is a population of those men that feel that way, and that's a reflection of them and not a reflection of what the female in the relationship is doing.
I agree with you, but I don't know those guys, so I can't talk about that. I have an idea that they exist. They're kind of like Bigfoot. You know, I kind of believe they might be around, but I ain't never seen one, you know. So I do agree it has to exist, but what I can tell you about is the situations I run across in my experience. A lot of times I run into women who are alphas, and because of their alpha personality, they run off alpha men, but that's what they want. So what they end up attracting is a beta guy. Once they get comfortable around the beta guy, they want the beta guy to lead and be the alpha. But he can't do that because he's the beta. You ran the alpha guys off. So I think that's what's so funny about the dichotomy is then you'll be like, well, I can't get Franklin to do this. Well, you did everything before for Franklin. That's why Franklin stays. When you try to do that with Jimmy, Jimmy left. Jimmy's the alpha. Jimmy's the guy you really want. But you're only going to see control to Franklin after you put him through the ringer and you feel like he's earned your trust. But mm-hmm. Franklin is not built to lead because he let you run over him for the last 6 months.
I think that's when we talk about show topics like this one, do successful women intimidate men? It seems to always go back to the, I guess, stereotypical roles that society has created about what a man is and what a man is. We keep going back to the alpha, beta, and I'm wondering if, maybe we should specifically just address that whole alpha, beta concept as it relates to relationship, because it really spills over into everything. It spills over into relationships, to their careers, and because we hear women talking about these concerns so much, maybe that's an area that we should address, because clearly we won't have time to do that tonight. So before we sign off, Sean, any closing comments in reference to successful women intimidating men?
Ain't nobody scared of y'all. Go home, analyze what you're doing, do the work, become more feminine, and you'll attract a masculine man. Opposites attract. Whereas one thing can't exist without the other. So the more masculine you act, the more of a feminine guy you're going to attract.
All right. My closing remarks are, men, step up your game. If women are, you know, making the money that you desire to make, then step it up and do the same thing. So we will agree tonight to disagree. And as always, you guys, don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on. We had some technical difficulties earlier, but we're glad that we were able to get everything set up. And thank you for all of you guys that tuned in tonight. So don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on. Tell everyone to tune in next Monday at 7 p.m. Central. We're going to revisit a show we did a couple years ago, What is Real Crazy Part 2. I promise you guys don't want to miss that one. Everyone have a blessed week. Good night, Sean. Talk to you later.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.